Welcome to the podtech.net. We're at Tycon with Desh, the chairman of Sycamore Networks. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So we're here at Tycon 2006. You've been involved with Tycon for a long time. Very successful serial entrepreneur. You've been an entrepreneur. You're involved in a lot of companies. You're the chair of Ty East, correct?
John, you know, I've been involved with Ty now for over 10 years. And I used to be the chairman of all of Ty, the global Ty, all the 42 chapters. And now Apoor Bugri is the chair, but I'm still on the board of Ty and very passionate about what Ty does. Not only in Silicon Valley, but globally everywhere else in the world.
Well, you're from the New England area, the Sycamore Networks.
That's right.
Right, where it is now. And it's a global organization, but there's a lot of chapters. Talk about the structure of Ty in the East Coast and how it all works together and with the kind of the headquarter event here.
Okay. Well, you know, Ty, it started off in Silicon Valley in 92, but then it came up to Boston in 96, went to L.A., and then slowly over the course of time, we were spread out to 9 countries and close to 44 chapters now. So there's about 10,000 members all over the world. So Boston is probably our second biggest chapter next to Silicon Valley. And we're hoping in a few years we'll be bigger than Silicon Valley.
And, we've got an event coming up on June 15th to the 18th. 15th, 15th, 17th?
Right. So okay. The Tycon in East, in Boston, is going to be from June 15th to June 17th. We have excellent keynote speakers, a lot of focus on mentoring. You know, we really want to somehow connect the aspiring entrepreneurs to people who have done it before and really provide a lot of one-on-one mentoring so that when people come, they leave with at least some of the questions answered that they came to the conference with.
On the theme of mentoring, is it going to be around, obviously, entrepreneurship? But what's the entrepreneurial theme this year at Boston?
The theme itself is innovating in the flat world. You know, we know it's all global stuff, and as the global thing comes together, technology changes, and also a lot of the business propositions change. And it's hard for me to imagine a startup that you can do now which doesn't have some India component, some China component, and some US component. And I think the focus is going to be really to bring people, make people aware of this new flat world and show them how they can innovate in a lot of different dimensions.
You've been involved with Ty and on the board, the chair, and been involved in many aspects and run businesses. Talk about the community aspect of Ty and how that's translated for the entrepreneurs involved. And take us through the mentoring, some of the processes, and just some of the success stories.
The biggest value of Ty is just the inspiration that it provides. You know, I think somehow people get successful. You know, part of it is their own effort, but a lot of it is also luck and right time, right place, and everything else. But when people become successful, they somehow become inaccessible. So you read about them, you watch them on TV and so on. But it's a very different feeling when you actually meet them. And a lot of the people, and what Ty has done is done a very good job of bringing these successful people so that all the other members, aspiring young entrepreneurs, have an opportunity to actually meet them. And when they meet them and they say, you know, if this guy can do it, I can do it too, is probably the biggest value of Ty.
Well, not only meet them, but I get help from them because, you know, like, for example, you've been very successful, headlines, and you've made a lot of money, created a lot of money, wealth for other people. You almost seem like it's almost becomes like this, wow, who is that guy? But you're just a normal person. You're an entrepreneur like everyone else, and you could help folks. Talk about some of the mentoring that goes on.
Right. So, you know, in terms of mentoring, every journey is a unique journey. So if you want to climb the Himalayas, you know, ultimately, you have to do it. I mean, there's nobody else who's going to do it for you. And there are risks, and, you know, it could be fatal. But it's nice to be able to talk to a whole bunch of people who've been there, you know, who say, no, maybe you should go in May and not in December, and maybe you should carry this stuff or use this equipment and so on. It's just having the benefit of talking to somebody who's been there. Even though your journey is very different than the journey that person has made, it's nice to be able to sort of have the benefit of that experience.
And a lot of entrepreneurs, some entrepreneurs, when they look at mentoring that way, it's not that bad. Most entrepreneurs kind of be like, well, are they trying to take my idea? Mentoring, most mentors like mentoring, but it's, again, like you said, it's not their journey. what's the successful mentoring model that you've seen working today in this world?
Right.
Where it's global, internet's there. I mean, when I did my first startup, I used to cut newspaper clippings out. Mm-hmm. That was my research. I'd present to investors. You know, look at, this is what people are talking about. Now you can get access to entrepreneurs, the internet's global. How has that changed?
Right. So, you know, a few lessons that I've learned in the last 6 years where I've sort of become a professional coach now. And so a few things I've learned are it's not that different than raising your kids. Number one, just because you're a mentor doesn't mean that you have an answers. So most of the time, you actually don't have answers to the questions they're asking. So I think it takes a lot of discipline on the mentor's part to say what they know and what they don't know. The biggest value that you can add to the entrepreneur's thinking, I think, is entrepreneurs are obviously very passionate about the idea that they have. And when you talk to them, they just can't stop talking about it because it's great. I mean, that's what they want to do.
Yeah, that's their passion.
They need to figure out that just because they believe in it, it doesn't mean it's a good idea or that it's something that'll get through. So teaching people how to set deadlines, how to force the issue, how to figure out if somebody else likes that idea is an important piece. You know, the worst thing is for an entrepreneur to, you know, without conviction, you don't go anywhere. So if you don't have conviction, you'll never be successful. But just because you have conviction doesn't mean you'll be successful, because it could be a wrong conviction. And to have a wrong conviction and struggle with it for a year, 2 years, 3 years is probably the biggest mistake that a lot of the entrepreneurs do. And so and when you go to the VCs and you tell them you have an idea, nobody ever says it's a stupid idea, because it's not in their benefit to say it's a stupid idea.
Because if it's good a year later or 6 months later,
yeah,
they want to fund it.
Right. They don't know, right? So I think the biggest thing for entrepreneurs to learn, the people who are getting started, is to see if they can actually force that issue. Either they can bootstrap themselves, in which case it's really trying to see if they can get the first customer. If they're going to get funded, then it's really forcing the VCs to get to a point whether they're either going to get funded or not funded.
Forcing the issue. I mean, that's what it's all about. Facing it, doing it, facing the journey. Start taking the journey.
Absolutely.
So talk about Thai East and Boston event coming up. June's a great, great time of the year in Boston. It's not too sticky, but it probably won't be. Great time of year. What's planned? What's give us a little insight into what's going to be like in terms of content and experience.
Right. So Boston, again, it's a fairly, you know, rich community with a lot of good universities and a lot of innovation and thinking and so on. So we have our close to 80 to 100 volunteers who have worked for about a 6-month period, really pulling all this stuff together. And what's impressive is that they've been able to pull together people from all different areas. You know, we have the innovation guru, Clayton Christensen, who's written this book about, you know, disruptive technologies and all that kind of stuff. So he's going to come and share as to what causes disruption, and if you really think that you have a disruptive idea, is it really disruptive, and can you actually be successful with that idea? So we have the academics coming in and sort of really sharing all the deep research that they have. We have people like Rajat Gupta, and we have a real thought leader, Ray Kurzweil. You know, Ray is somebody who has been in the business of looking into the future and predicting what's yet to come in the next 20 years.
Downloading memory into our brain.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know.
Nanobots. And
yeah.
Ray's been
on
my program. He's
has
been
he?
On,
yeah.
I podcasted
yeah.
Ray
yeah.
And,
yeah.
twice
yeah.
In Stanford and at George Gilder's conference.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's a good friend of mine, and I really enjoy always being with him.
You know, when his eyes start twitching, you know he's on to something big, because he really gets excited.
Yeah,
and he's
yeah.
just such a visionary.
Yeah. Now, Ray is going to be there, and Rajat Gupta is going to be there, and a whole bunch of people. And
you get panels, and you get a lot of diverse panels, from media convergence to, you know, how to get your first round kind of thing, right?
Yeah, you're right. So it's really broken up into two pieces. One is getting people inspired by getting mm-hmm. big ideas, and then really having a whole bunch of workshops and panels and so on, where people can really get into answering the questions, specific questions that they have.
What are you expecting in terms of the event? I mean, when people come there with mentoring, is it a place for entrepreneurs to bump into each other and start ideas? Do they come with ideas already? Obviously, there's a lot of great leaders there to get access to. How do you see the event happen?
Right. Well, it's going to be a large event, lots of people. And it's really the whole ecosystem. You know, you'll have people who have done it before and now they're bored and they want to do another one. So there's these guys, veterans looking for ideas. There are young people who sort of say, you know, maybe I should think about this. And it's a great thing for them to hang around and see what other people have done and get started. And then, of course, you have the venture capitalists who are, you know, professionally looking for funding good ideas. And then you have the accountants and the legal people. So you'll have the whole ecosystem there.
It is an ecosystem. It's an ecosystem of entrepreneurship and innovation.
Absolutely. And that's a beautiful thing about the U.S. economy. You know, we really have a system here that actually is well-oiled. And if you have a great idea, you know, somebody comes in and puts money in and grows it. And I think I'm very, very grateful that Thai has actually taken the leap to, you know, fuel that whole ecosystem.
You've been very successful. You've had many journeys. Sycamore was a big journey. You had a lot of journeys. Now you're a professional coach. What is your journey now, and what are you up to, and is your next journey going to be a coach, or is there any ideas budding in your head? What's that path for you now?
So, you know, I've had the fortunate format of maybe taking some time off every 4 or 5 years and thinking about what I want to do next. So about 5 years ago, I said I want to transition from being the CEO to a coach. So I've been doing one initiative a year, and typically it's catching hold of bright bunch of people that I really enjoy working with who are 25 years younger than me and let them do what I did 25 years ago, 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, right? So I did Sycamore, and then the following year I'm doing a company called Tejas Networks in India, which is a telecommunications product company. The next year I'm doing a company called Airvana, which is a wireless company. So we supply all the technology for Sprint and Verizon and so on for all their high-speed CDMA technology. Following year, I'm doing a company called A123 Systems, which is a rechargeable battery company. We do all the heavy-duty nanotechnology in Boston and do all the manufacturing in China. Last year, I had a company called Sandstone Capital, which is an investment company. So it's more like a hedge fund that takes money from here and invests in India, which has been very successful. So it's a lot of different things and involved in a lot of nonprofits.
So it's entrepreneurial, but you don't have to go in and take that same journey. It's an entrepreneurial journey in a new way.
Right. It's almost like you enable other people to take the journey. And, you know,
A little less stressful. 90-hour weeks aren't there anymore.
No. But actually, I...
you do probably work a lot.
I try to make it a little stressful because...
You only work 60-hour weeks.
No. It's not... Yeah.
And not 90.
And actually, I put in half the capital. So if they don't work, they hurt.
Yeah.
And I think it's fun.
It has to hurt. Yes. There's no fun in that, right?
And I really, you know, come to believe that there's not that much difference between the non-profit and the profit. So I'm doing a center at MIT. I've been on the board of MIT now for about 8 years. So I work very closely with MIT and trying to get this innovation economy into a new way of doing things. And hopefully that'll help.
Well, you've had an impressive career as a serial entrepreneur, now a serial investor, entrepreneur, coach. Congratulations, and Thai's a great organization, and we're excited to partner with them to do the podcasting, and we're going to do the podcast in Boston with you guys, so we'll capture all the keynotes and we'll produce them and make them available and try to give an audio experience to the folks who aren't there, or as a takeaway to time shift it with them. So I really appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah.
Thanks for the podcast.